This is Hacker Daily for Monday, April 30th, 2018. And today we're talking about, should we bulldoze all the business schools? Faking perfection made easy. Intel's next generation of chips are delayed. The EU bans pesticides that harm bees. France seizes France.com. Antibiotics can reduce infant deaths in Africa. And then product launch news, a new shoe made out of recycled chewing gum, and a new version of NetHack. I'm Dave Zorub.
And I'm Harish Agarwal.
Thanks for tuning in to Hacker Daily, featuring top stories for hackers, founders, and makers. As always, let us know what you think via email at info@hackerdaily.co or follow us on Twitter at @HackerDailyCO. And don't forget to subscribe and rate us on your podcast app. Martin Parker, a professor at the Department of Management of the University of Bristol in England, published a long essay in The Guardian on Friday called "Why We Should Bulldoze the Business School." Parker frames the necessity of starting over with business education as a moral cause, writing, quote, "I think that we should call in the bulldozers and demand an entirely new way of thinking about management, business, and markets. If we want those in power to become more responsible, then we must stop teaching students that heroic, transformational leaders are the answer to every problem, or that the purpose of learning about taxation laws is to evade taxation, or that creating new desires is the purpose of marketing. In every case, the business school acts as an apologist, selling ideology as if it were science," end quote. Commenter M. Besto writes that Peter Drucker, the person most attributed with founding modern management, himself stated that you cannot teach management. He goes on to quote Drucker, who said in a Financial Times article, "Teaching 23-year-olds in an MBA program strikes me as largely a waste of time. They lack the background of experience. You can teach them skills, accounting and what have you, but you can't teach them management." Another commenter, Benjamin Coleman, added, quote, "I graduated from business school last spring. It's not that they need to be bulldozed, but rather treated as a trade school. Our highest-rated classes were taught by practitioners, those in the arena leading men and women, making the difficult ethical choices, then posing them to us to wrestle through. These were the classes we all wanted to take, but were deeply oversubscribed and only a fraction of us got to take. The practitioners were sidelined by the academics, the theorists and mere paper writers, many of whom either utterly failed at business or never spent a day outside the university environment. The real revolution in business education will occur when the academics relinquish control and let those who've learned through hard-fought experience take the reins." Life isn't perfect. Your profile should be. That's the tagline of a new startup launched this weekend called LifeFaker.com, which offers photographs of appetizing food, fancy holiday trips, and more. The company says, LifeFaker is the world's first online life-faking service. Instead of going through the hassle of living a perfect life, now you can just get the photos. Packages such as "I can be arty and deep" or "My weekend was amazing, thanks" offer a stream of appealing Instagram-ready photos for just $1 per month. The company says, why pay $5 for a coffee when you can just have the photo? All right, well, if this sounds too strange to be true, that's because it is. LifeFaker is a satirical take on social media by the folks at Sanctus.io, who are trying to raise awareness of social media addiction. The founder of Sanctus posted an explainer on Medium, the link is in the show notes, which says that their goal was to use parody to highlight some of those unhealthy behaviors we all know exist on social media. They continue to point out that rates of anxiety and depression have increased 70% over the last 25 years, and that social media use is linked with increased rates of anxiety, depression, and poor sleep. Slow Robot Ahead commented on Hacker News, "The best satire is the one where you can't immediately tell. This nailed that." Another commenter adds, "Even the logo is spot on. This is dark satire indeed, predicting the near future when someone out there will actually offer such a service and millions will buy into it. This would be a perfect fit in the world of Black Mirror."
Tom's Hardware reports that Intel, which posted a record quarter of financial results, is pushing back its 10-nanometer process high-volume production to 2019. The number being referred to here, 10 nanometers, at one time used to refer to the size of the features printed onto processors. At this point, the denotation simply represents the next generation of chips, typically denser than the prior. Intel's 10-nanometer process is projected to increase density by 2.7x. Intel, which has long been the guardian of Moore's Law, is potentially losing ground to competitors with this announcement. Hacker News commenter Nemos writes, "I think 2019 to 2020 will be super interesting for hardware. Intel, Samsung, GloFlow, TSMC could all have competitive 7/10-nanometer nodes. Unless either Intel or AMD make some crazy IPC gains, they should be fairly competitive with each other, and it'll be interesting to see what the ARM giants can do as well."
The Guardian reports that the European Union is set to ban the most popular insecticides in the world by the end of 2018 because of the danger that they pose to bees. The substances, known as neonicotinoids, will only be allowed in indoor greenhouses after the ban goes into effect. According to the BBC, the action has been driven by a recent report from the European Food Safety Authority, which found that neonicotinoids posed a threat to many species of bees, no matter where or how they're used in the outdoor environment. Another key element that helped push the vote through was the UK's change of heart on the use of these insecticides. Environment Secretary Michael Gove announced last November that Britain would now support further restrictions. Many commenters praised the decision. Andy Mayon wrote, quote, "I must admit, I find the EU pretty progressive and thought-leading lately. When they banned all filament light bulbs, everyone was saying how bad it would be for the economy, but the industry was just forced to innovate, and a couple years later, everyone is 95% on LEDs. Farmers will cope, and the demand they create for new solutions will accelerate supply much faster than any voluntary solution," end quote. Ex-Abriel offered a different perspective, saying, "From a family of hive owners, not sure this will have any sort of meaningful impact except raise prices elsewhere. It's a grand gesture, but the science just isn't there. The real problems are mites, which we do not have any sort of effective treatment for, and decreased biodiversity as African bees continue to push into North America."
France has seized the domain France.com, reports Ars Technica. Jean-Noël Fridman had bought France.com from Web.com. Fridman, a French-born American, created a business catering to Francophiles on France.com in the ensuing years. The French Ministry of Foreign Affairs initiated a lawsuit in 2015 to take control of the domain. In September 2017, the Paris Court of Appeals ruled in favor of France, saying that France.com was violating French trademark law. France then asked Web.com to hand the domain over, which it then did in March 2018. Fridman has filed suit against the French government for illegally seizing the domain. Hacker News commenter L. Krubner writes about the case, "The courts, in the USA, have found that domain names are not property. Instead, they are like telephone numbers. Governments have the right to assign themselves any telephone number they wish, and reserve ranges of phone numbers for themselves. Therefore, it makes sense that they can do the same to domain names. If people felt strongly about this issue, the law could be changed, but as of right now, under current law, this does not appear to be theft."
A new study of nearly 200,000 newborns and infants across three African countries demonstrated that 2 doses per year of an antibiotic can cut death rates by up to 25%. That's from a new report in the New York Times. The article states that, quote, "Death rates in this age group have remained stubbornly high in poor countries, even as deaths among all children under age 5 have dropped by half, thanks to vaccines against childhood diseases," end quote. The new study suggests that deploying antibiotics in a way similar to how vaccines have been used could hold a lot of promise. The study, also known as the Mordor trial, gave 1 dose of azithromycin, or a placebo to children under age 5 in 1,500 villages in Malawi, Niger, and Tanzania. The results? 14% fewer deaths in the group getting the antibiotic. The strongest effects were seen in Niger, which has the highest infant mortality. Though the researchers can't say definitively why the antibiotic worked, they observed the greatest protective effect for infants 1 to 5 months old. For this age group, the azithromycin prevented 1 in 4 deaths. Commenter PH writes on Hacker News, quote, "My first reaction when reading this, of course, was, what about resistance? But then I thought, as long as it is standard practice to heavily use antibiotics in meat farming, we shouldn't point at any good usage to save human life. And it indeed seems to be a fascinating and very beneficial use of antibiotics. Beyond its obvious humanitarian benefit, lowering child mortality seems to be the working method to limit population growth," end quote. Enricuto adds, "There is a somewhat unhealthy obsession with antibiotic resistance. The problem is not as scary as it may sound. It turns out that antibiotic-resistant strains are much weaker than normal strains in the absence of antibiotics. That's because they use a great deal of resources to be antibiotic-resistant, and they tend to disappear quickly." And finally, in product launch news, there's a new sneaker that's made out of recycled chewing gum taken off the streets of Amsterdam. The shoes are called, cleverly, gum shoes, and their outer sole is made entirely of recycled chewing gum. According to the makers, over 3 million pounds of gum make it onto Amsterdam pavements every year, which costs the city millions of dollars to clean up. The project uses about 1 kilogram of gum for every 4 pairs of shoes. Braxton Huff commented on Product Hunt, "Wow, this is extremely innovative. After traveling in Amsterdam and seeing the gum litter problem, I always wondered if there was a way to take another approach to solving the problem. Great work to this team." The shoes are available in bubblegum pink, or black and red, and they'll be available in June for 190 euros, which is about $230. Check the show notes for a link to the product.
It was in high school that I got my first Unix account, started learning Vim, and was, to the great detriment of my grades, introduced to NetHack. NetHack seemed ancient even then, a text-based Legend of Zelda, but the game was incredibly fun and addictive. In 2000, Salon described it as one of the finest gaming experiences the computing world has to offer. Hacker News commenter P. Moriarty said of it, "NetHacks is the game I've played more than any other, having played it literally for decades and decades. I'll be honest, I assumed the game was sent by time travelers from the late 1970s, pristine and never changing. I was proven wrong with a Google Groups posting recently by the NetHack dev team, announcing the release of version 3.6.1. So, good news world, NetHack is alive and well and actively developed, ready to be delivered to another generation of young text-based gamers."
And that's all for Hacker Daily today, Monday, April 30th. And as always, we want to make Hacker Daily better every single day, and we can't do it without your feedback, so please reach out to us via email at info@hackerdaily.co, follow us on Twitter @HackerDailyCO, and don't forget to rate and subscribe to us on your podcast app. We'll be back tomorrow with more updates for hackers, founders, and makers. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.